Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for joining us tonight on Faith Ambassadors Men's Roundtable Discussion Panel called The King's Decree. I thank you for every listener that has dialed back because of the technical difficulties that we just experienced. As the songwriter just declared, that you made a way where there was no way. You've moved mountains, and I believe you'll do it again. I was told that you can only record one broadcast per night, and you can't do anything after you've already set that broadcast. Well, if anyone knows LaToya, and maybe a few of you on this line really personally do know me, you know that I'm when someone says that I can't, especially if it's something that I believe, I can bypass, because God says that I can bypass it. I'm going to try to do just that. So I did, and as I began to work, I just said, okay, God, you planned this show. You planned this broadcast, not me. And lo and behold, I was able to reschedule it again. So praise God. I'm excited about what God is going to do. I love that song. It's called Elevation by it's called Do It Again, I'm sorry, by Elevation. And I just want to declare to everyone who is under the sound of my voice to get ready for elevation. There's an elevation coming that God is ushering us into, and sometimes elevation requires turbulence. And the turbulence is only because you're rising to another level, another atmosphere, another dimension, if I may. So again, I welcome you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Men's Decree Roundtable Discussion Panel. We bless you here at Faith Ambassadors. We thank you for joining us wherever you are. If you be incarcerated, if you be in an institution, if you are in a rehab, if you are at home on your couch, wherever you are, we thank you for joining us on tonight, because you could have been anywhere else. And we also thank you for dialing back in after the technical difficulties. I am Prophetess LaToya Douglas, your host for tonight. I am the assistant pastor of Faith Ambassadors Ministries. I want to welcome you all. I am so excited. I welcome all of my panelists on tonight. I thank God for these men. I thank God for their lives, and I thank God that they have sacrificed this part of their lives to be used for the kingdom of God. Quick announcements. On tonight, we have, this is our final broadcast of the week. We have on tonight, usually the School of the Prophets. We are going to have also the King's Decree on the second and fourth Thursday of every month. We will have this discussion panel. So get ready for what God is going to say and do through these men. I am the host until God says otherwise. You guys hear that, my panelists? I am the host until God says otherwise. I'm just kind of standing in for the host who will be elected by God. So when I ask you, know that it's not me, that it's God asking you to step up to the call and to be the host of this broadcast. So I thank you again. On Monday nights, we have our Staying on Purpose broadcast, which is geared towards keeping us focused during the week or coming into the coming week that we're going into. On Tuesday nights, we have Women of Wisdom and Power. On the second and fourth Tuesday, we also have the roundtable discussion panel with eight powerful women, including myself, where we discuss topics that are controversial. We discuss topics that provoke the listeners, and we also discuss the Word of God according to those topics. On Wednesday night, we have our youth resurgence, which will be called from now on Overflow. We're going to be retitling that broadcast, and it's going to be called Overflow. So get ready for the overflow of what God is going to do and how he's going to do it. And as I said, on Thursdays, we have the School of the Prophets and the roundtable discussion panel for the King's Decree. And we just thank you for joining us on tonight. If you can, while you are on your phone, go to your social media and share. Share to Periscope. Share to your Twitter. Share to your Facebook. Share to your Snapchat. Some of us have Snapchat. I still haven't figured out how to work that thing yet, but somebody's going to show me. Anyway, go and share this broadcast so that we can get the word out of what God is saying. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. I want to give honor to the founder of this ministry, Apostle Daniel Carter. I would like to also give honor to our pastor, Felicia Dotson, and every minister and leader that is a part of Faith Ambassadors. I honor you, and I love you all. Thank you all for coming on the broadcast as well, if you have joined us. We thank you again here at Faith Ambassadors, and we love you. We are going to be giving out some announcements at the end of the broadcast. I have some announcements per a cruise that we will be having next year. For those of you that like to travel, we will be having a cruise next year, so I'll give some information about that also, and some up-and-coming things that we will be offering through Faith Ambassadors. I want to pray so that we can go ahead and get into the broadcast. So, Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. We ask you to cover this broadcast with your anointing, your glory, and your tangible presence. Father, give us a fresh and new release and flow in our inner man with rivers of living water springing forth. Father, springing forth abundantly with life and life that you've given us by your Son. Fill us to overflow with your favor, compassion, and love, with your wisdom, God, leading us into all truth and then an understanding. Father, anoint our ears to hear your voice and not that of a stranger. Give us your eyes, Father, even to see spiritually, and a heart to understand and to be led by your Spirit. Father, we thank you that we will be bold and confident and obedient to do your will on this broadcast. Father, we thank you for your gifts and your blessings. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would pour out your anointings on us to receive your anointing in your Father's name, in the name of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would let your love shine so brightly through us into others that it is considered an act of worship to you. Father, we bless you and we thank you. We decree and declare that this call, this broadcast, would reach millions upon millions upon millions of listeners, Lord. And we thank you for the mandate. We even thank you for every listener. We thank you for every house that has been, that is represented by every listener, God. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Father, and we bind Satan right now and all of his evil efforts, the principalities, powers, and rulers of wickedness in high places, and we loose the Spirit of God and the authority that you have given us, Lord, and we bless you for it, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are here with us, God. I feel the presence of God, you guys. I thank him for his presence. And we just thank you that individually, oh God, you are where we all sit, Lord. Individually, oh God, you are in each and every one of our homes, on our jobs, wherever we're listening, Lord. We thank you for your presence being there with us. We thank you, Father, for the anointing right now. And Lord, we thank you for the blood. I apply the blood over every listener and every home and every family that's represented by every panelist on this call. Hallelujah. All right. Well, tonight, as we've said, is our King's Decree. And I want to read the scripture that the Lord gave me concerning not only this roundtable, but also the women's roundtable. And it's the same scripture. And it is Job 22, verse 28. And I'm going to read it out of the King James Bible first, and then I'll read it out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. In the Amplified Bible, it reads, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. I want to read that again in the Amplified because that just made me get glad all over again. The Bible says in the Amplified version of Job 22, verse 28, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your way. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your way. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word, God. We know that it is blessed. We pray that the hearers are blessed by your word, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, tonight we are doing our introduction of our panelists on tonight. Tonight I have the pleasure of joining me, Elder Bennett. Elder Kevin Bennett is on the line. I also have the pleasure of joining me, Prophet Sir Ryan Davis. I have on the line also Evangelist Kent Fowler, and I also have Prophet Breon Hare. I know all of these men in some way, and some I know more than others, and I just thank God for them. I thank God for their lives. I thank God for what he's called them to do in the earth realm. So without further ado, I'm going to call on the first panelist. I'm going to give you guys about, I'll say 6 to 8 minutes to give us a small testimony. Tell us what God is doing in your lives, where you're from, your ministry, what you're doing now, and why you've decided to become a panelist on this roundtable, because I know that God gave you an answer and he gave you a why as to what he wanted to do with you on this panel. So the very first person that I'm going to call on will be Mr. Bennett. Elder Bennett, are you available to speak?
Yes, I am.
All right. Go ahead, sir. You have the floor.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Elder William Kevin Bennett, Sr. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I just moved here 2 weeks ago, just about, and before I came here, I was a member of various churches, taught Sunday school, led praise and worship, did prison ministry. I was the housing manager for Dolan Ministry, which houses houses for men. They do missions trips to George, South Africa once a year. They go there, wash the kids' feet, put clean socks on them and shoes. Mentored our youth department with Pastor Bruce Shafino and other various outreach ministries as well. I also did health ministries, which I did a lot of things for people outside of the church. But I just moved here from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm a member of the Way Church and trying to find out where God's going to lead me to do some things down here. My heart is for prison ministry. So that's basically where my heart is at right now. I love to sing. I write my own songs. I also like to dance for the Lord, and so that's basically where I'm at right now in my life, trying to find where God would have me. But your scripture that you had for the topic for tonight, a king's decree, has really blessed me, because it sort of spoke volume to some things in my past, because he's declaring something that God made a way for him, even in the midst of Job being spoke about. This person, Eliphaz, spoke against him and had three speeches against him. So when Job finally replied, it wasn't about a rebuttal. But the reason why that decree is there, because he expressed that he wanted to still have a relationship with God so he could experience God's love and goodness and hear from him the meaning of his, of all his suffering. So this individual was accusing him, and he had three speeches against him. And it was like he was engaged in a court debate, and they even had evidence and witnesses. But Job knew God was not going to enter a contest with him to determine, as in a court case, who was right. And even the song today was, "You made a way out of no way." So I read verse 30, and it says this: "He will even deliver one who is not innocent." So even in your guilty state, when this guy was expressing so much against Job, he had three speeches, not a comment, speeches. And it doesn't say how long these speeches were. But then verse 29 says, "When they cast you down and you say exaltation," and you mean about elevation and promotion. Look at what 29 says: "When they cast you down and you say exaltation will come, then he will save the humble person." And this brings out the point in verse 28: "You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways." Let me emphasize verse 30 again: "He will even deliver one who is not innocent."
Come on.
So Paul had to decree a thing, even in the midst of these accusations. So even though Job couldn't sense God's presence, he believed he was present and affirmed his commitment to God's purpose in this test and his continued obedience to God's word, which were the most important issue in his life. So no matter if this individual had three long speeches, he was determined to decree a thing, and he believed that it would be established even in his guilt. So God will make a way out of no way. And I have, and I'm true to this letter here myself. So to God be the glory. May God have a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Bennett. We bless you and we thank you. We look forward to how the Lord is going to use you. I could feel like this preaching coming on, or this, like, I can sense it. There's a movement that's happening right now on this broadcast. The very next person, I'm not going to stop, I'm going to keep flowing. The very next person that I want to call forth would be Prophet Breon Hare. If you would, sir, you can come forth and introduce yourself to us. I would like for you to tell us where you're from, what God is doing in your life, what ministry you're a part of, and also where do you see yourself and why you accepted the invitation to be a part of the King's Decree.
All right. God's blessings and favor to everyone that's listening, and give honor to the host of the show and to God. I am Elder Breon Hare. I am in Jacksonville, the city of Jacksonville. My assignment is at the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, where I serve as an adjutant to my bishop, as a servant. My goal or my passion in life is to help others. I believe that God has given me a call or a mantle to awaken dreamers, awaken those that are asleep, and encourage those that have been hurt out on the field in the battle of this journey. I really feel led to that. I believe in no one should be left behind. I think that sometimes we allow things that go sour in our space, our relationships with people, whatever it may be, to cause us to discontinue our passion for the soul of that person. And I think that we have to realize that God desires that we bring everybody with us. I think that God, he gives us much given, much is required. I think sometimes we take it all and we hold it to ourselves versus sharing the gospel. And I think in this day and time, people have gone away from the word, but the word still works. The word is still a medicine. I think in this time, prayer is important to call on the one that can do the exceedingly and the abundant for us all. I believe that unity is probably the one that is most difficult for us in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, because everybody wants to be number one versus one. And I think we have to get back to center to understand that we must be one. We must be one. So much more can be accomplished when we are one. So much cannot be accomplished when we divide. You know, the Bible says that a house divided cannot stand. So I think the more that we unify, the better we can stand. The solid will be the foundation so that we can win souls for Christ, so that we can bring liberation to souls for Christ, so that we can speak and healings take place and deliverances and chains be broken and people that are bound can be set free. But that can only come through unity and through the power of God. I think that we talk about authority, but we don't always walk in authority. So I'm real big on being in the authority that God has given us, walking in that to ensure that everything that he wants us to do that we're able to accomplish, and we can only accomplish that with his power, with his authority. What I see God doing is just opening doors for me to share at whatever level that is necessary. I believe that we are to be encouragers of one another. As I said earlier, we are to encourage one another in the Lord, in the things of the Lord, to make sure that everyone reaches that point. I am a pusher. I believe in pushing people to their next level through the word of God, through prayer, through just encouraging people. Because the thing about it, everyone that's on this call, there's a remnant that God has designated, has crafted out for you to reach, and those people are waiting on you. So in order to not let them down, to get in place so that you're in the place that you can reach those people. I was honored and by, as well as humbled by the invitation to be a part of such an awesome panel. I believe that God will, as it goes, it will grow. As it develops, the men will develop. The listeners will develop. I just think that we have to get back to being hungry for Christ, and whatever part that I can play in that, that is my heart's desire, of course, praying, because I believe that every door is not a door. I really believe that we should focus on assignment, because when you're assigned, there's something about assignment that God is sending you there. Therefore, he's going to meet you there. Sometimes we take doors that are not really doors that God has ordained. So we end up, you know, the door may slam in your face, the door may close. You are from the ordained doors that God has for you. So I think being in tune, have great discernment to know when God is assigning you to do something. And I feel that God is allowing me to be a part of something great. I'm not here to make a name for myself. I'm not here to impress anybody. I am just here to do what God is desiring that be done, that his will be done. So, again, thank you for the invitation, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. So what I'm hearing, and I'm going to follow up with what Elder Bennett started, because I believe that that was a opening Can you elaborate on Job 22 and 8? Give me about 2 minutes on the a decree and even a king's decree, because we know that the Bible says that God will establish his word. He is the king, and his word is the decree. So give me an elaboration on that scripture for about 2 minutes.
Okay. I believe that what God speaks, what God decrees, he speaks with expectation of manifestation. I believe that in that moment, what God was decreeing, what God was speaking, he already knew how he was going to make it manifest, because the Bible says that, you know, as his word goes out, it will not come back void, that it will accomplish everything that it's intended to accomplish. So I think we stand strong in that. The word that we hide in our heart, God speaking, God spoke to Jeremiah. He spoke to many people. He spoke to Jeremiah and said, before he was in his mother's womb, you know, there were promises. And sometimes God decree a thing, but sometimes he gives us time to catch up to it, if that makes sense. So I believe that when God decrees a thing, it may not always happen in that moment, but it's going to happen. The song that you are listening to is our confidence is in his faithfulness. Our confidence is in his faithfulness. So everything that God has promised, everything that God has decreed, everything that God has spoken, it's for sure that it's going to come to pass. Now, what happens is we mix God's decree with our flesh. So sometimes the decree can be held up. The decree can be blocked because we mix our thoughts in with it. When God says, just do what I say, as I said earlier, so many people are going away from the word. The word still works, you know, the decrees that God has made, you know, because God is not a respecter of person. What he decreed then, he's decreeing now. So therefore, we can still walk in the decrees of old, if that makes sense to you. The Bible says that the scripture was written aforetime for our learning. We can go back and pick up those decrees that were spoken. But I just think that whatever God is decreeing, he's going to manifest it, because he's already given the equipping. He's already set the people that will help the decree come to pass, come about. But I just believe when God decree a thing on your life, you just have to have faith and believe that it's going to happen. But what happens is we allow doubt to decrease the decree. Does that make sense? Our doubt decreases the decree. So we want to make sure that we have faith so that the decree can be increased. God is powerful. God is the word. And I mean, I might not be going where you want me to go, but I'm going what I hear God say. But God says, stand strong on my promises. When you stand strong on God's promises, his decrees, that's when you're at most peace. Because his promise, his decree may not line up with what you think should be going on right now, but you got to go back to the promise. You got to go back to the decree, because he decreed the thing. So he's going to bring it to pass. Amen?
Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your decree. We thank you. It is so ironic that the title that what God called this broadcast for you gentlemen that would participate being the king's decree. And I kept saying, God, you didn't give the women a title or like a hash name, or you didn't give them the women just have the round table discussion panel. they just have the round table discussion panel. And as I hear you guys talk, and as I sit here and I continue to look at and read Job 22 and 28, I just thank God, because he is in control. And as I told the women, because we had a couple of shows back-to-back, and they were asking, why are we having a back-to-back broadcast? I told them, I said, because God is able to interrupt what LaToya does. And I'm going to do what he's asked me to do. So I thank God that I, when he said that this needed to happen, that I was obedient and I began to put things in motion for this roundtable discussion to come forth. And I am overwhelmed already. And I'm excited about what's going to come forth from this panel, even in the months to come, in the next 2 weeks. And as God begins to move us forward on this broadcast, the next person that I would like to call on would be Prophet Ryan. If you can, you can come forth now.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Are y'all hearing me loud and clear? Am I
yes. Yes, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bless the Lord. My name is Sir Ryan Davis. I am currently in Huntsville, Alabama, attending Kingdom Connections Church. And I do not serve in that ministry at any capacity at this point, but praying and seeking God on what to do. But how God uses me and why I accepted this invitation, I'll get into that, tell you a little bit about who I am. So the Lord, as the other gentleman just stated, he is sharing and reaching out to people in any capacity that God opens up to him. I'm very similar, and I believe at this point in time, the body of Christ has to be open to doing things the way that God is calling for. In fact, when we speak of the king's decree, then we have to understand we have a king over us, and his decree is where I send you, you go. What I say, you say. And that's what we must align with and not get stuck in paradigms of how we think it should be done or how it was done in times past, but it's all about in following the Spirit. So God uses us in various different ways, and especially in this information and technology age, there's so many various ways to promote the gospel, but we have to still be led by the Spirit. So I'm in book writing groups, creating groups and social media, street evangelism, just day-to-day evangelism and discipleship. I've been doing a Bible study for about 3 years now that the Lord has opened up a door for my voice to be heard by various people, leaders and lay members all across the United States. A majority of my family, they come and they're fed weekly. They call me their pastor. And for me, this is a whole new thing because I foresaw that I thought I'd be, you know, building a church and building and having people come that way. But God gave me a different direction, and he's showing me through it the power of decree, because it's not in your presence all the time that's going to make the difference, but it's in the words you speak when his Spirit is in it and on it. And that's what makes the difference. So this is how he uses me. I'm originally from Kentucky. I had, you know, God began to transition me in the last few years. And when God begins to transition us, sometimes it's ugly. And this is the part nobody wants to talk about. We want to put it out there like we got it all together. But sometimes the transition is trouble will wreck your life to get your attention, because there's a call on your life and something in you that is needed by someone else that God is saying you're holding on to it. So I'm going to allow this enemy to come and wreck your life, to transition you. But in it, there's something in you. You know, let me say it like this. The Bible calls it pearls of wisdom. Or, you know, he says that the kingdom is like a pearl that a merchant is searching for. But what happens is a pearl is something gets trapped inside of that clam, and it's irritation. But the irritation causes something on the inside to secrete the oil around that irritation. And next thing you know, it just continues to secrete more and more oil. And all of a sudden, there's something beautiful that comes out of it, and man values it because it's valuable, because you can't get it no other way. So this is how the kingdom is inside of us. He sometimes will allow our irritation, a thorn in the flesh, to transition us to get us where we want to be. And I've been in transition, or as some leaders call it, a prophet in transition. But before I really say more, I want to touch this. As you were speaking, Prophetess Latoya, in the very beginning, I said, my gosh, he doesn't even know how prophetic this thing is. And as you were speaking, I was receiving revelation, and you said something about when somebody tells you you cannot do, if there's a way, you're going to find a way to overcome. And I began to understand that this is what God is calling for collectively, corporately, in the body of Christ, is we have to have a mind like that. He told me once, he says, set your face like a flint. Me being dumb, I had to go look it up, find out exactly what that meant. I said, okay, God, I don't even know what this means. I looked it up. I know it's in the Bible. I looked it up. And it means we have to have a stubbornness about us. Not in the rebellious against God stubbornness. No, we're stubborn against the things that are trying to stop and block the will of God for our lives. He named Simon Peter. In other words, you got to be like an adamant stone when it comes to, well, if I told you to go, I don't care what's against you, you go. If I told you to say it, I don't care what's against you, you say it, because there's power in the king's decree. So you were saying that about, if there's a way, I'm going to make it over it. And I begin to think about the time that we're in and what God is trying to really position our minds towards. And then you spoke about elevation. I said, my God, she doesn't even know how prophetic this is. And it's not about elevation as we know it, but it's elevating into his presence, walking with God, because eventually we're going to be caught up, taken, elevated to a new place. And there's forces that are assigned to stop that. There are forces of evil that are assigned to stop that, to keep our minds here on the ground. But the word of God declares that our minds should be set on heavenly things. Now, I'm going to read one thing, and then I'm going to be quiet after I speak on this. John 15:7, Jesus says, if ye abide in me, and my words, not just word, but my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, then, and it shall be done unto you. So when you speak of a king's decree, there's a place where our words are no longer our words, because we've abided in him, his presence, and his words are now living inside of us. So when we open our mouth, it's the king's decree. It's not us. It's not flesh. It's the king's decree. And oftentimes people will misunderstand the decree because they're looking at the vessel. But Jesus said there's a sword in his mouth. The sword is double-edged. It can either cut you down or it'll cut you loose. It depends on how we position ourselves when it's coming forth. But God is trying to get us to that place of a king's decree. It's not us, but the Christ in us, because that's the difference maker. If we abide. So I accepted this upon prayer. I was invited, and I thank you for the invite. And I want to encourage you on one last thing. I thought I was finished. You prayed a prayer, and it may have sounded lofty to some of the listeners. You know, she's saying, let this reach millions and millions of people, and somebody might be like, you know. But I want to share something with you. When we decree and we're spiritual-minded, we're not talking to people. We're speaking to the atmosphere. And angels carry our words. Angels will carry our words. The scripture says that there are things that the angels look into. That means we have an audience. The Bible even calls it an innumerable company of angels that are watching us. And God makes his wisdom, manifold wisdom, known to the principalities by the church. I'm trying to find that verse of scripture. That digress. God will carry the words to where it needs to go. There's an assignment. And there are the people that need to hear what the Lord is saying to the church collectively in this hour. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sir Ryan. We bless God for you. Jesus. I'm over here and I'm holding back tears. I'm smiling. I want to get up and run. I want to get up and dance. I want to get up and move. My God, my God, my God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for causing us to be obedient. I'm going to read a verse of scripture, Psalms 103, verses 20 through 22. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified, because if y'all don't know me, you guys know that I'm an Amplified baby. King James or the Amplified or the One New Man Bible, who I won't get into. So I'm going to read verses 20 through 22. And it reads, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, and all you his host, you his ministers who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of dominion. Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, oh my soul. And I believe that this is what you were talking about, that host of angels, all of his hosts and even his ministers, which can be likened unto us. I just thank God for everybody on this broadcast, every panelist. I'm excited. I'm overwhelmed right now. I want to get on my face and go into worship, but I know that I can't while I'm on broadcast. But I just thank God. So without further ado, I'm going to stay in the flow, and I'm going to allow for Evangelist Kit Fowler to come forth now and sharing with us who you are, where you're from, what ministry you're a part of, why you accepted the call, and whatever else the Lord leads you to say.
Well, let me answer the last question, because you got several there first, so I don't forget. You gave me an invitation. I wasn't sure I wanted to take on that kind of responsibility. We do a lot of discipling. So I said, Lord, I really don't want to do it. And he said, you better. So that's why I accepted the invitation. So there must be something that I can give that would be of value. My name is Kent Fowler. The Lord has told me to call myself an evangelist. I probably operate in all five ministry gift offices that are mentioned in Ephesians 4 at different times. But yes, That's what he told me to call myself. And so until he tells me otherwise, well, I'll just keep calling myself evangelist. I do know that my primary gift is that of helping people to improve their personal evangelism endeavors, or some people just to get started. There are times that I do give an altar call, you know, for the lost, but primarily the reason I think the Lord has me call myself an evangelist is I do have a gift myself for personal soul winning or for deepening someone's walk. I have a great gift for starting conversations and then elevating them to spiritual conversations within seconds. If any of the pastors need a little help in that area, I'd be glad to help. I recently took out a pastor next to his neighborhood. We're using a 7-question survey. We had some results. He's very excited. Wants me to train some of his people. And I am very glad to do that. So I'm an evangelist at heart, just looking for opportunities to win someone to Jesus. And I'm sure I've won hundreds of people to the Lord in my lifetime. Well, I live in Carrollton, Texas, which is in the northwest section of suburbs adjoining Dallas. It's called Metro Crest area. And I will just tell you that just a brief look at my life. I am so blessed. I was blessed with the best of both worlds. I was raised in a minister's home. My biological father had a great gift for teaching, personally led me to the Lord. I probably could take you to the very spot in Maples, Texas. I was 4 years old. I crystallized it when I was 6 years old, because the church group that I was a part of says you got to know the day and you got to know the time. So in 1961, the third Sunday of August at Pleasant Valley Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas, and I made sure I saved, that I'd follow the Lord and asking him to come into my heart. For the most part, I followed him all of these years. I did have a little time of strain. I'd rather not talk about that. It's under the blood. However, because of my dad's association and his longing to do things, not just within the traditional boxes of theology, I was exposed to a lot of good, great teachers. Then I was very wonderfully discipled by a man and woman named Dale Nichols, and I had a wonderful pastor in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, Gene Rhodes. I got a great start when I recommitted my life to Christ. I'm very, very grateful for it. But ironically, what somebody would think was not a blessing, I actually had a blessing when my biological father went shipwrecked. Why is that a blessing? Because it put a great determination in my heart to avoid that for myself. I saw firsthand up close what it does to a man when he gets too arrogant to accept the community of believers, goes out on his own. And I'm determined not to follow that example. I think that was a blessing to me. Went to Central Bible College with the advice of Eugene Rose, Dale and Laura Nichols. And, of course, what I was feeling in my spirit, there I met my wife, who's sitting right next to me here in the living room. I knew the night I met her, that was my wife. Out of that exchange, I have a precious father-in-law. I'm sure he is either listening live tonight or he'll be listening in a recording later. I've been blessed with some great men. I have a great desire at my age of 62 and have had for probably 20 years, but it gets intensified. It's more urgent to mentor several groups of ministers, young men, men that have been hurt, need to be healed, restored back in the ministry for whatever circumstances. And then I have a desire to help pastors that have always stayed in the saddle. They have some pastoral gifts, but they're not as strong in evangelism. So I want to help them. I had a time after my third pastorate when the Lord visited me in the night season. He said that I have equipped you with evangelism tools. I want you to, first of all, to encourage the pastors. Secondly, I want to help you to help them to expand their outreach into the surrounding communities. Because I believe that a real awakening affects the communities. You can have people come in your church, and man, God moves and changes lives, but how has it affected the culture? How has it affected the surrounding communities? So with that, the last 24 years, I have focused on that, and I am the happiest man I know. I've followed the Lord and his will and desire for me to be a pastor for a season. I enjoyed that. The joys outweighed the sorrows. But I was never quite peaceful. But until the Lord began to share with me that I had this for you all along, and now you're stepping into what I want you to do, I have really enjoyed life. I enjoy waking up in the morning, seeing what damage I can do to the kingdom of darkness. I'm a man on a mission. I'm a man with an urgency. I can't explain to me better than that. It's great to be a happy man. And I'm learning more probably at my age right now than I've learned in the past. That would seem strange that after a lifetime of studying the Word of God, there are still treasures that are being opened up to me. And this area that you placed your scripture on is of particular interest to me because I don't believe that we have really fully taken advantage of the divinely enabled ability to decree and establish a thing. But also notice in that verse, it says that when that we decree a thing and is established unto us, then there is a light that comes upon our ways. So we are just now discovering how to disciple a nation. You know, most of us, when we've read Jesus saying to the disciples, go you into all the nations and make disciples, we've called that a great commission, and we're thinking about evangelism. Of course it involves evangelism. How can you disciple until you get someone converted? But that's actually a discipling mandate. And he's talking about discipling the nations. I don't know if we'll get them all discipled before Jesus comes again, but we ought to at least try, because that's his mandate. We need to impact cultures and bring them under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Most of that may be fulfilled during the 1,000-year rule of Christ on earth, but we should be about doing the king's business, occupied till he comes. We need to be discipling nations. I think we have yet to discover some of the things of how to go about that. At this time, our nation has gone through an 8-year period of some of the darkest days. I think we're beginning to understand how we can rise up and bring things to the kind of changes that they need to be. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, also, you asked us to kind of give an idea of what the Lord's dealing with us about in the present time. Well, I want to say that it's becoming more apparent to me, and it's being reinforced by other people that I'm listening to, many of them on YouTube, that in this last awakening, perhaps before the return of Jesus Christ, because we don't know when he's returning. He could come anytime. But if we're going to have an awakening before the return of Jesus Christ to catch his saints away, then what I think that God wants is an explosion of manifestations among a many-membered body. So let me more clearly identify what I'm saying. In the past, we've had wonderful celebrity ministers, and people have made idols of them. But what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12 is that these gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, is for every believer. I'll go so far as to say that even for a brand new believer, although you wouldn't want to put a ministry program on him because he's a novice, that could cause great difficulty. But even for a new believer, he should have by example an idea of how to go about ministering in the gifts of the Spirit. That's how he's going to win his circle of influence, or she's going to win her circle of influence to the Lord. We need power evangelism. By saying that, we need miracles. We need signs and wonders. We need to go out in the streets and the shops, find somebody that has a body problem, has blindness, deafness, can't walk very well. Minister in the power of the Holy Ghost and see miracles so that the lost can see that. You can argue with people for hours. You can argue with people for days. You can argue with people for years. But when they see the power of God demonstrated, the argument is over and they'll come to Christ. So I think that God has been building some things through the years. I've been very fascinated with studying church history. We've had some great awakenings through the years. God allows us to go back to some of those wells that have been dug and drink of those cups that we put down in the well. He does not want us to bring methodologies and man's ways of dealing with things from one revival to another. He wants to separate the humanistic aspects from what he has done and what he intends to do in the future. But there is a momentum from all of that which is taking place before. Every saint that has prayed for awakening, every saint that has prayed for his or her community to be affected, that's all been bottled up. And it's like a spring getting ready to come out of the water. So I'm filled with anticipation that there's something that's going to happen that will rival or will exceed anything that we've seen in the past. However, it will not be centered on celebrity ministers, but God's dealing with a lot of people, many, many people that are not known nationally or even statewide, or maybe even countywide. But he's bringing them into a place where they can operate under the yielding of to the Holy Spirit so that the gifts of the Spirit can be manifested. When that takes place, Satan and his demons will not be able to compete with that, because it'll be happening on so many fronts that he cannot possibly squelch what's happening and what's taking place. That's my hope. That's in my prayers. And I mentioned two ministers that on YouTube that spoke the same thing. I've been studying Lester Sumrall, and I've been studying Dutch Sheet. Both of them have said the same. Now, let me just tell you a little bit quickly about Lester Sumrall. He was under a man named Howard Carter. And Howard Carter was a splendid teacher on the gifts of the Spirit. Lester Sumrall followed him around for years, I think around 10 years. He would preach on evangelism, and he'd listen to Howard Carter, and he took extensive notes. What I'm trying to tell the people that's listening to you is there are plenty of resources. God has allowed some of the residue, some of the sweetness from past wells of revival, and they're there for the finding. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to mature. God wants us to be powerful. God wants us to learn to declare a decree. When we do that, then the light of God will shine on our ways, whereas before we may have struggled in our walk. We're going to see the light so we don't stumble. I'm going to surrender back to you. If you want me to ask me any more questions, you can.
Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Fowler, for the enlightenment. And yes, God is saying get back to everything that all of you guys have said. And there's this. There's been a building on from Elder Bennett all the way down to you on what God is saying and what he's declaring that we get back to. I am so excited, and I'm going to ask any of the panelists if they have anything that they would like to share before we get ready to close out. I'm going to call on one of the panelists to pray us out, but if there's anything else that either one of you would like to share, your lines are still unmuted, and all you have to do is unmute your phone and begin to speak. This is your call. I'm not saying anything other than what God is leading me to say or sharing anything. So you guys go at it. Whatever God is saying, you guys have
the Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Evangelist.
Elder Bennett, I need you to speak into your phone. You sound far away.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. How about now?
Nope.
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
You sound far away.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great.
No,
great.
You sound far away. I don't know what's going on. You still sound far away.
Okay. How about now?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. I want to come on a big on what Evangelist Fowler was talking about, impacting culture, impacting different cultures. God has been dealing with me on specific, which means if we can't get past the racial divide, what Evangelist Fowler is talking about, we're never going to reach the nation. If we're just walking to a temple or a slash building and we only see us. We only see us. Now, I'll give you a good experience. Before I came to Dallas, Texas, I was in a certain region, which is Cranberry. I'm going down the road, and I see 25, maybe 30 young Caucasian teenage girls doing a car wash. I made my U-turn and came back around, and I went and I had my car detailed and I washed it. And I was allowed to engage in them because my car is sort of like an ordinary, you know, I got crosses and eagles and military brass on my car. I have the original Statue of Liberty. I have I actually have the three wise men on my car, the baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So my car is my pulpit as well. It opens up a door for opportunity to share. As I explained to them the history of my car, the mentors allowed me to engage with these youth. Just as I washed the car, it rained. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying? I get in my car, and I drive off, but then I turn back around, and I go back. And they're like, hey, y'all, he's back. But I opened up my car door, and I put Fred Hammond's Wait on the Lord, opened up my sunroof, opened up my car doors, and led those young Caucasian women in praise and worship. And then as I did that, a few of me even joined in with me in dance as Fred Hammond's Wait on the Lord played. As I got back in my car, we're praising God and did all that. They were all happy and we're high-fiving. And I get on the road, and here's the blessing. Just as I get on the interstate, I have a son. Here's the testimony. God wanted to see if I was going to be obedient, because God knew it was going to rain. He wanted to see if I was going to be obedient, cross the racial divide, and be a witness for him. And then when I went back and then led them in praise and worship, I get back on Interstate 79, and I get a phone call from my son, who was just released from the Allegheny County Jail. Look at God. And,
Jesus.
And when I got the phone call, I was like, then it dawned on me why that happened. And then I asked him, I said, son, where are you? He told me where he was. I went immediately and picked him up because he was hungry. And I fed him like a Viking. And then I called my wife, and she led him in the prayer and ushered him back into fellowship with our Lord and Savior. Look at God.
Amen.
So what Evangelist Fowler is saying is evident in my own life, is if we can get past this racial divide and be a witness and have more people than just us as a friend. I ain't talking about a coworker. I'm talking about as a friend. Bringing somebody other than us into the temple, then we will see nations reach. Because what God spoke to me was human race. That statement alone speaks volume to me. Human race. And when you look at the global fast of how big this earth is, the different languages, the different cultures, the different countries, the different languages, the different style, the different makeup of every region in this global world. God is bigger than this world. He's bigger. And we really got to get past this racial divide, which, again, Evangelist Fowler is talking about, reaching the nations. And that is paramount for God to do in this earth, mainly in the season that we're in. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. If there is anyone else on the panel that would like to speak before we close out, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to speak in response to what Elder Bennett just said. I want to say that where there have been the deepest divisions, when there is a restoration to that, there will be the greatest breakout of God's glory. Why do I say that? Well, it's my contention that where there have been the deepest racial divisions, Satan has been at the forefront of that, knowing the potential of our reconciliation together. And part of what Peter talked about in the book of Acts, he says to heal the breaches are divisions, and to restore the ruins. There's a lot of ruins, there's a lot of breaches. And so I believe that though we see in the world spectrum on the news and so forth, that there are disturbing feelings between people. That brings those that are in power to a place of desperation, and they're going to call on us. They're going to ask us to be praying for solutions for them. So it's going to bring humility among those that are in leadership. Just recently, on September the 30th here in Carrollton, the newly elected mayor, Kevin Faulkner, and I arranged to have a prayer meeting for him at Freedom Church in Carrollton. There were 26 ministers that said they were come. One pastor told me he just got sick, and I haven't heard the explanations from the other, but there was 26 that was scheduled to come. We ended up with at least 13 in the meeting itself. There were over 20 people that got an opportunity to pray for the mayor. So God's moving. God's setting things up so that his spirit, his people by his spirit can coincide with the authority of governments on the city, the state, and the national levels. All of this desperation, all of this hurt is actually driving people to come to submission or to seek help from saints that are under submission of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else before we close out? Amen. Amen. If Prophet Brian is still on, I would like for you to close us out in prayer, please.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for what our ears have heard, and God, the revelation that you have spoken, and God, the encouragement that went forth on the call, God. And God, we know that you ordained this and you set it into place. You decreed it, God, and so we thank you for it. We take not for granted your goodness and your mercy, God. And God, we thank you, God, that this shall not be just something, another way to do ministry. This shall not just be a movement, but this shall be of you, God. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for the assembling of each and every panelist. We thank you for each person that shall join the call, God, that you would already, God, know their needs, that you will meet them, God, that you would supply, God, because you are the supernatural supplying God. So, God, we pray, God, that resources will be released, God, for the ministries that the panelists have talked about, God, to do greater works for you, God. So, God, we thank you for the heart of Prophetess Latoya, God, and how you touched her heart and to reach out, God, through prayer, those that should be on the panel. So now, God, we just trust you and we just believe you, God. God, that everything that was spoken would go out and accomplish, God, everything you intended, God. God, because we know, God, that you spoke to each and every panelist, and so we thank you for doing it, God. Now, God, we pray for the greatest gift, God, the gift of salvation, God, that if someone on this line, God, needs to come to know you, God, that you, God, would deal with them, that you, God, would speak to them, God, and that you would draw them closer to you, God. So, God, I pray not just them being saved, God, but send someone their way, God, to nurture what has happened on tonight or what shall happen on tonight. So we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Continue to allow us to grow together in unity, God, so that greater things can be accomplished. And so we thank you for it. Now, God, work those miracles that the evangelist talked about. Work those signs and wonders that the evangelist talked about, God. And, God, make us available, God. Give us availability. Give us obedience, God, so that we would hear and we would move at your command. And so we thank you for it. Now, God, anybody that needs to be touched by your healing hand, I pray that you touch them right now and heal them, God, 100% from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, God. And I pray, God, that they are healed by your stripes. And we thank you, God. So, God, that person that needs to feel love, God, let them feel your love right now, God. And, God, we pray right now, God, for every attack of the enemy. We pray that you dismantle it right now in the name of Jesus. And, God, we just give it to you, and we thank you. We give your name the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Again, we thank you for joining us tonight on the roundtable discussion panel called The Men's Decree. We love you here at Faith Ambassadors. If you want to connect with us, you can email us at faithambassadors247@gmail.com. You can
also go to our website, which is faithambassadors247.com, and get more information. This ministry has been commissioned to a million soul mandate, and I believe that God is going to do that and much more. We thank you again for joining us on tonight. We love you and we bless you. Everybody be blessed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
I build an altar here.
David song, right?
Lifted arms. Right on this altar here. Bending knees. So you seat high above. A broken heart. You can feel with us. So here's his heart.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
I build an altar.
Yes, God.
It's bruised, it's scarred. Till I built this altar here. Father, consume me. Come move me. Breathe life into me. Here on this altar. Father, consume me. You can move me. Breathe life into me. Here on this altar, Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me. Here on this altar, Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me. Here. So here are these hands.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
They haven't done so well.
Yes, yes, God.
But you were there. Even when I made my bed in hell. Consuming fire, consuming fire. Consuming fire. Oh, Father, consume me. You can use me. Breathe life into me. Here on this altar. Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me, here on this altar. So Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me, here on this altar. And Father, consume me. Here on this altar, I lift my hands here on this altar. I lift my hands here on this altar. And I yield my heart here on this altar. I yield my heart, yeah, here on this altar. Oh, as I lift my hands here on this altar, and I lift my hands here on this altar. So Lord, use my hands here on this altar. Oh, use my hands.
Everyone who's able,
hallelujah.
Find a space for like both of your knees.
Hallelujah.
Here, if you're able,
just
find a space to kneel.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Here I am.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hey, I hold the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.